This is Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. Have you heard of chicken gunya? No, it's not a new dish. It's a virus that was first identified in Tanzania back in the 1950s, and the name translates to something like to become contorted, and that not-so-nice name describes the main symptom of the disease, agonizing joint pain, which can last from a few days to a few weeks. And since the virus first showed up in the Western Hemisphere last December, over 400,000 suspected cases of the viral infection have spread across the Caribbean, Central, and South America, so says the Pan American Health Organization. And last week, for the first time, two people caught the virus in the mainland U.S. in Florida. How did it get there? Yep, mosquitoes. Joining us to talk about chikungunya and other diseases mosquitoes can spread is Roxanne Rutledge Connolly, professor of entomology at the Florida Medical Entomology Laboratory that's at the University of Florida. And she joins us from WQCS in Fort Pierce, Florida. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Connolly.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
When you first heard about chikungunya, did you think it's only a matter of time before it hit the U.S.?
Yes, I did. We all did. All those who work with mosquitoes and mosquito-borne diseases. Several years ago, there were some outbreaks in other countries. And what we knew at the time is that the mosquito that was transmitting the virus in other countries is a mosquito species that we have here in Florida. It's actually in a good portion of the eastern part of the United States. So knowing the way people travel and how mosquito-borne diseases work, we did believe that we would see it here one day.
So you've only had two confirmed cases, but you're saying it's in other parts of the eastern United States already.
Right. Now the two confirmed cases are those that are locally acquired. So that means our local mosquitoes actually transmitted the virus to people who had not traveled outside of the country. Right now, there are probably in over 30 states in the United States, you have people who have gone to areas where it's endemic and they get infected while they're there, and then they return back to the U.S. and then they get ill. So there's about 250 imported cases, but those two that showed up last week were in people who had not traveled outside of the U.S.
And how dangerous is it? How dangerous of a threat about it spreading around is it?
It has the potential to be enormous, and the reason I say that is because the mosquito that transmits this virus is probably in every Floridian's backyard. It is one that's an invasive species in many of the eastern states of the U.S. It gets everything that it needs right there in the backyard, so it lays its eggs in containers that are laying around the house. That are holding water. The larval and pupal stages stay right there in the little container. And then when the adult mosquito emerges and the female gets ready to take a blood meal, she's got everything right there. She's got humans, maybe there's a dog or squirrels, whatever, but they don't have to travel very far to get a blood meal, which means they don't have to travel very far to transmit the virus.
So the good news, I guess, is that it can only be transmitted from mosquito to person, not person to person.
Oh, that's correct.
And how do you know if you have it?
One of the first things is to look at the symptoms. And some of the symptoms are similar to other mosquito-borne diseases and even other illnesses where you have a fever or a headache, joint pains, muscle pains. But there, with chikungunya, there are some real intense arthritis symptoms that you experience where you have your joints are swelling. It hurts to walk. It hurts to move. That's one of the ways doctors would first know to test for it. But a doctor would have to test your blood to see if you're infected with it in order to be sure that's what it was.
So is this enough of a threat that if you think you have some of the symptoms, you should go to a doctor?
Well, certainly we believe so. I mean, it would be great if people would go to the doctor when they have these types of symptoms because it gives us if people are tested, then it gives us an idea of how the virus is getting around and you know how fast it's moving around the state. A lot of people will they'll try to treat the symptoms and may not go to the doctor. And and in that case the numbers that we see may go a little underreported.
Mm-hmm. Are all the mosquitoes, and I know there are a lot of different kinds of mosquitoes, are they all capable of spreading a virus like chikungunya?
No, that's the good thing. We have about 80 species of mosquitoes in Florida. There's about 150 in the U.S. All of them are a little bit different in how they behave and what they can, what their medical concern is. There are two species that we have in the U.S. that are able to transmit chikungunya. So that's a good thing. You know, not all of them can, but at least one of the two that we have is pretty aggressive in getting a blood meal, you know, and becoming established. So that one particular one is our biggest concern.
You know, we had a concern about West Nile virus when it started showing up in the U.S., and then now it has become part of our landscape, so to speak, right?
Right.
Do we expect chikungunya to do the same thing?
That's a good question. Probably so, or at least little sporadic outbreaks, I guess. And that is what we already are experiencing with another mosquito-borne virus called dengue, where we have local transmission that occurs in little communities, you know, not widespread, but every now and then you'll just have a high number of cases, and these people haven't traveled anywhere. So that, I think that's really what we're expecting right now. And one of the things you mentioned about West Nile, you know, over the years we've been telling people, there's, you know, they have these campaigns on how to protect yourself from mosquitoes, and you tell them, don't go out at dusk or dawn, the mosquitoes are biting at night. These particular mosquitoes that transmit chikungunya are day-biting mosquitoes, so we've got to kind of retrain everybody, you know. Now you got to avoid the mosquitoes that are out during the day as well.
Hmm. Wow, now you've got us all very scared. Should we be? I mean, should we then take extra precaution against mosquitoes?
Yes, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of, you'll read in the paper where it'll say that there's this mosquito-borne disease, but it's not fatal. However, a mosquito-borne disease doesn't have to be fatal to be awful. I mean, the symptoms that you experience, I've talked to a couple of people over the phone who just wanted to tell me about what they had experienced, and it's pretty bad. We're talking about, you know, losing time at work or school, you know, quite an impact on the healthcare system, and certainly, it, at least in Florida, it has the ability to affect tourism. So there's a whole list of reasons why we should protect ourselves from these diseases.
Uh-huh. Speaking of which, there was a case of Eastern equine encephalitis, EEE, found in Massachusetts last week. How concerned should we be about that?
Well, of all the mosquito-borne diseases that we are concerned about in the United States, I'm most fearful of EEE. It is the one that is the most fatal. It has the fatality rate in humans is it'll kill about a third of the people who become infected with it. It's about an 80 to 90% fatality rate for horses if they're infected. There's a horse vaccine, though, so there is some protection. But with humans, it's even for people who survive infection, a lot of times they do have to have medical care for the remainder of their life. The good thing about it, if you can say that, is that it is pretty rare. It does occur in the eastern part of the U.S., and it's really limited to where the specific mosquitoes occur. But again, it is one of the most severe ones, and certainly you would want to protect yourself from you know, from any kind of mosquito bite, actually, because we have so many mosquito-borne diseases we're concerned about now.
So if it's so dangerous and debilitating, why don't we have a vaccine against it?
I think that part of the reason we don't have a vaccine, I'll take that back. There is an experimental vaccine for people who actually work with the virus. So that's not, you know, it's not approved for general use, and certainly it's only for a limited number of people. But I think that the reason is because the number of human cases that we see every year is so low. And an example in Florida, 5 would be a pretty high number for us if we had 5 cases in a year. But the number is so low that probably the people who make vaccines don't see a market there.
We've heard this before.
Yes. Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, and there's, you know, there are certainly many mosquito-borne diseases out there that it would be nice to have vaccines for, but Yeah, this one we don't. But and if you look at, you know, there is, like I said, there is one for horses, and certainly, you know, it, when you're paying the money people do for race horses or, you know, even pet horses, you're going to invest in the vaccines because, you know, relative to, you know, taking care of your horse, they're not that expensive. But so,
this is when it pays to be a horse.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of which, if you work in that industry around horses, should you be afraid of this then?
I certainly think you should be aware of it. The transmission typically occurs in areas that there is a particular mosquito species that keeps the virus circulating in nature. It cycles it in birds that don't die from it. They're basically just carriers. But this particular mosquito exists only in cypress, hardwood freshwater swamps. So where you have those hardwood freshwater swamps and horses, which you actually do often, horse farms are built around areas like that, you know, then you really want to be aware that it, you know, there's a possibility that this virus is circulating in areas around you.
Mm-hmm. So beware, take precautions. But speaking of all the mosquitoes we talked about, wear long, repellent or is clothing, or what's the best way?
Yeah, the best way is to... It's always hard to get people to do this, in, especially in the summer, but wearing long sleeves, long pants, closed-toed shoes, you know, anything that covers up the skin on your body is really the best thing to protect you. You know, even if you have that on, your face is still exposed, the back of your neck's still exposed, so you need to wear repellent on any skin that's exposed, because mosquitoes can, you know, they're going to go for wherever the skin is exposed,
right.
And they're very good at finding that.
Well, Doctor, thank you very much for taking time to warn us about this.
You're welcome. Thank you for talking to me today.
Dr. Roxanne Rutledge Connolly is a professor of entomology at Florida Medical Entomology Lab at the University of Florida. She was at WQCS in Fort Pierce.